Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. We would love to invite you to any of our four Sunday church services right here in Melbourne, Australia. Service times are 9:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Otherwise, you can join us online on YouTube or Facebook. We'd love for you to join us. Now to this week's podcast.
I want to speak to you on the topic, the spirit of freedom. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And by the way, welcome. I know we've already welcomed our visitors, but it's just so good to have you here. And I know that there's nobody here by accident. Amen. That God's got a plan and He can weave it all together. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here and you think you're just visiting today, you may well be visiting. And yet I know that God wants to speak to you because He loves you so much. You know, as I was praying about what to share, what to preach about, my attention was drawn back in my own notes that I keep of what God is speaking to me about, back to like January, February of this year, with some really specific things that I felt God speaking to me about that I felt that I was to pass on to you today. How many know that God's timing is perfect? Amen? And He knows how to set us up for what He has for us. So we're talking about the spirit of freedom. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, I think it is, that the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. Amen? Or some, but here's our scripture today, or one of them. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Speaking about Jesus and then all of us as well. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and listen to this bit, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, perhaps you don't feel like you're in prison right now. Perhaps you don't feel like that you are bound. Ultimately, this scripture is talking about what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross and in His resurrection, that we are free from the power of sin and the power of death. Can I get a hallelujah and an amen? But you know, Jesus came to set us free from everything that the enemy would want to use to restrict us here in this life. He wants to bring liberty to us. Amen? So the Bible also says in John 10, verse 10, what Jesus said about the enemy, He said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. Or a different version says life in all its fullness, life to the full. Come on, abundant life. Can I lay it out to you really, really clearly here? The enemy wants to restrict you, but the Spirit of God wants to release you. The enemy wants to enslave you, but the Spirit of God wants to empower you. The enemy wants you to live a powerless life, but the Spirit of God, He wants you to live a powerful life as His power comes upon you. Come on, if you don't yet know the good news, know this, that when you put your faith in Jesus, it will affect every part of your life because He came to give us life abundantly. Come on, say amen if you believe that. The question is always, whose influence will we come under? Right? So this is the picture. Thank you, Tim, for demonstrating it. This is the picture that I kind of had of myself and maybe of some of us. And it wasn't specifically of Tim. But I had this picture of myself, right? Being under... Stop taking pictures of him. I see you. Pastor Mervin, I see you. I heard there was quite a list of people trying to make him laugh in the 3:30 as well. Stop it! He's a prop. He's a statue. Can't mess with this. Anywho, thank you. This is the picture I had. Now, what's the point? There's some degree of freedom. He's still able to move. He's alive. He's awake under here. And yet there is this net that represents that restriction, right? That limitation. And I knew that represented me. That was the image that the Holy Spirit gave me of me. It's because I believe in Jesus and I'm living for Jesus and Jesus has transformed my life. And yet there can still be degrees of limitation that we learn to live with because of lies from the enemy that we've learned to agree with. And they're so subtle sometimes that we don't even know that we're living with those things. In other words, what I want to tell you today is that you can be redeemed but still restricted. You're living for Jesus, but there's still this restriction, right, that is inhibiting you from the life that He actually came to give us. He came to give us eternal life, but that eternal life is way too great to be held back for us in eternity. It bursts forth into this life here, and it brings abundance into our life here on earth as well, right? And so that's what this represents, okay? So what restricts us? The way that we think can restrict us from the life that God has for us because we don't think the way that He thinks. Man, I don't want to bother wasting my time thinking things about myself or about the world around me that are not the way my Father thinks, because that thing is going to become a restriction, you know, to keep me back from the life that He has for me. In Isaiah 55, I think it is, it says that His thoughts, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But that's not exclusivity speaking, and it's not saying, oh, keep your thoughts down there. That's God inviting you and I up to say, hey, come up to my way of thinking. Don't see yourself as limited the way that you thought that you were. Come up to my way of thinking. This message is an invitation today, all right? So let me ask you some questions that I felt the Holy Spirit ask me. You ready? When you think about the events in the world happening right now, you think about the headlines, or you think about something that you see in social media, who do you think is influencing your thoughts? When you think about your own future, who is it that's influencing your thoughts? When you think about your family or your finances or your job or your position or your career or your study or your relationships, anything right in your life, what is it? Who is it that is ultimately influencing the way that you perceive those things? Because we can come under the influence of a way of thinking that's contrary to God's way, and it's going to restrict us. Or we can throw off that restriction, come into agreement with God, and live that abundant life that Jesus has won for us here in this year of victory. Come on, it's a year of victory, and it's not just for us, it's for every single one of us. And let me prophesy now and just say, I know that there are things that some of us have learned to live with for a long time. But in the year of victory, it's time to throw off limitation, throw off restriction, and step into that. Like, man, I got to move because I really want to make sure that we can get to some of these things. So what are some of those things that can restrict us sometimes without us even knowing it? Can I tell you what God hasn't given us? You ready? He hasn't given us a lot of things, but here's a few examples. You ready? He has not given us a spirit of lack. Say amen at the end of that. I dare you. It wasn't a command. It was an invitation. It was said, anyway. He hasn't given us a spirit of poverty, right? Or a poverty spirit. And as soon as I say that word, right, I'm not just referring to finances or talking about money, right? I'm not talking about what you have or what you don't have. I'm talking about because the reality, right, is that people can have millions and still be in a position of lack in their heart and their soul, in their thinking. It's not about what we have or what we don't have. It's how we perceive those things sometimes, okay? A poverty spirit will always get us focused on what we think we lack, so that we're always filtering things through what we feel like we don't have access to. Man, I've been in this place so many times in my life, and I was just thinking about a time when I was a student, I first moved to Melbourne and I really didn't have a lot. Like, I remember trying to make it to a class, and how I was making it to the class was with the change in my pocket to put $3.30 of petrol in my car to be able to get there. I did not have a lot, and yet there was a time of abundance in my spirit as I was growing in God. But then I know other times where it's like, okay, I've got a lot more in terms of material things now, and yet you can still be totally consumed with what you perceive as a limitation over your life, and you don't feel like you can move forward because of that lack. It's so easy for us to be consumed with lack, okay? So what can that look like? Maybe it literally is that you feel like you don't have enough money. Maybe it's though that you don't have enough opportunity, or you're not doing good in your studies, or maybe there's trouble or sickness or something, whatever it is that you perceive as a limitation. Maybe you didn't get into the course that you thought that you wanted, or whatever it might be, right? I trust that the Holy Spirit will reveal those things to us. But the point is that we get consumed by limitation, and we feel like we're a victim to our circumstance, and a victim to our own decisions, or maybe even to the decisions of others. The Holy Spirit will stir your heart to dream and to respond, to live the life that God has called you to live. And see, that always happens when we're worshiping, when we're in God's presence. You'll begin to feel desires stir in your heart. Dreams stir within you. But isn't it, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, I have. The moment that desire begins to be stirred up, it's almost snatched away with a reality of, oh man, yeah. But you don't know what I'm actually living with right now. Come on, who do we think those kind of influences are coming from? They're sure not coming from the Holy Spirit, right? It's this spirit of lack, man. Under a poverty spirit, will lead to vain fantasy instead of faith to dream with the Father, because you perceive you simply can't have those things and can't become that person, can't live that life. Under a poverty spirit, your prayer life becomes more like a lottery. You know, like, oh, if only. If only. And you start to look at what other people are walking in, you think, well, you write yourself off. Man, this is not the life. This is not the abundant life that Jesus has called us to live in. Amen? Amen. Can I state the obvious to make it plain for us? Your Jesus, your Savior, Jesus did not live a limited life. Just wait for it to filter down. Jesus did not live a limited life. He was not limited in any way. He never came across a situation and went, oh, geez, I wish I could. Hey, have you guys got... Never. There were plenty of times where it seemed like there wasn't enough, but Jesus stepped in and said, let me show you the heart of my Father. Can I give you some examples? He was at a party where they ran out of wine. And Jesus turned water into wine. Where they were lacking wine, Jesus brought abundance. There was another occasion where his disciples had been fishing all night and they caught no fish. Jesus said, it's all right, listen to my voice. Put your nets on the other side of the boat. And they caught so many fish that the nets were nearly breaking, but they somehow managed to pull them all in. And by the way, it never bothers to say what they needed all of those fish for or what they did with all of the fish. There was too many there. It's just Jesus brought abundance where there was lack. I love this story, man. It's one of my favorites because it's just so random. Peter needed to pay the temple tax. Is that what it was? And Jesus said, yeah, go catch a fish. Open up its mouth and you'll find a coin in its mouth. Why? Like, can't we just like, surely we can find it somewhere else. No, who even put the coin there? You know what I mean? Did it just grow in there? I don't know how the coin got in there. But think about how profound it is. Jesus just told one of his disciples where they could find money from a supernatural, unrealistic place. But Jesus was just demonstrating, hey, whatever it is that we need, I know where to find it because I'm not living with this limitation. Come on, I just want to encourage us to get this tonight. Amen. He fed 5,000 with some fish and loaves when they were lacking food. He multiplied it and there were baskets left to pick up the leftovers. Hey, man, the point is clearly not about how much stuff we have. Jesus didn't come to demonstrate a materialistic lifestyle. The point is, listen to this, is the fact that Jesus never lacked the ability to do and bring about and be involved in whatever his Father wanted to do in a situation. Jesus always had access to more than enough for whatever situation was presented to him. Anybody else want to live that kind of life? Can I get anybody else willing to say, man, if that's the life that Jesus lived, if that's the kind of abundance that he walked in, I want to live that kind of limitless life. Amen. So we're gonna take off whatever it is, man. Maybe some poverty thinking has got into our thinking and into our hearts. And remember, it's not about what we have or what we don't have. It's maybe we've got consumed with whatever we perceive to be a limitation. I want to tell you and I want to prophesy to you, Planet Shakers, in the year of victory, don't just praise and be a part of the crowd, but then go back to that small little excuse and say, oh, I guess I'll just stay here and mind my business. No, come on, step out in faith. Say, it's time to live the life life that God has called me to live, to make a difference in my world, to be generous to others, to bring abundance into people's lives. How can we do that? How can we do that when you're living in your situation and I'm living in my situation? Because of who we have access to. Hey, who we've got access to? The Spirit of freedom. Amen? So Jesus didn't come to give us a spirit of lack. Cross that one out. We don't need that. You know what else he didn't give us? This is aptly named. This is really good. This is profound. He didn't come to give us a spirit of stuff. Stuff spirit. No. It's not an actual spirit, I don't think. A stuff spirit. I just came up with that. Anyway, just to help us. But here, listen, Matthew 6:24 says this. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve, listen, both God and money. You know that word money, actually the Aramaic word that Jesus used was mammon. Mammon is a little bit different, and they translate it as money, but I looked into it, and you know what it's actually talking about? It's talking about the kind of riches that end up opposing God in your life. So that makes me think of anything that I seek instead of seeking God. Anything I end up relying upon instead of relying on God. Anything I end up trusting in instead of trusting in God. Anything I end up that pulls my desire away from the desire that belongs only to God. I will have nothing else as Lord in my life. I've got one Lord, one Master, one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible just tells, well, Jesus told us you can't. Shush, Siri. It says you can't serve both things at once. It makes me think like you can't run in two directions at the same time. I'm pretty quick, Pastor T. I'm pretty nimble. People have said I'm agile. You don't know the half of it. I'm tired by now. Hey, but listen, even I know you cannot run in two directions at once. Because the moment I go this direction, I've just run away from that direction. And the moment I run in that direction, without even meaning to, I've run away from that thing. You cannot run two places at once. So isn't it about time in the year of victory we decided, hey, if I'm going to run anywhere in this life, I'm going to set the course and the direction of my life on the destination. His name is Jesus. I'm going to run toward him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength for all my days. Is it time for some course correction? Hey, what have you been running toward? What's been getting your attention? What's been distracting you? You were running so well, but halfway through the year, is it time to go, you know what? It's time to put these other desires aside. My life is all for him. Amen? What things become more important than God in your life? What voices become louder and seem more important? Hey. But see, we're still under a net here. See, that spirit of lack will get us to focus on what we lack, but the spirit of mammon or that spirit of stuff will get us to focus on what we have. Or sometimes even more importantly, it gets us to focus on what other people have. And then we become consumed with getting what we think other people have. Wow, man, you can see this all throughout our world. It enslaves many. In fact, it enslaves the world around us. People live their whole lives consumed with trying to get what they think other people have because we think if we can get what they have, then we'll finally be fulfilled. We'll finally be happy. What do you reckon the collective time that we've all wasted trying to get more of something only to find out that once we got it, we needed actually more? You reckon how much time we wasted doing that? Well, I just need more money. If I got more money, then I'd be able to do it. Okay, you get more money and you realize, oh, actually, that's not enough. I need more. You're going to do that the rest of your life. Oh, I need more opportunity. And you chase that opportunity only to get it and realize there's a greater opportunity to chase somewhere else. Or we need those clothes. Or we need that car. Or we need that person. Hello. We need something. We're always chasing after something. Man, this spirit of stuff will keep you running around in all kinds of directions, but ultimately, it's not you, by the way, sorry, just giving you a back rub. But that spirit of stuff, it will enslave us. And can I show you one way how it enslaves you? Is this, it enslaves us because when you live for what you can gain, you're ultimately at risk of what you can lose. In fact, you're a victim to what it might cost you if you lose. You can see this demonstrated in the conversation with Jesus and a rich young ruler. And Jesus said, you want to be my follower? Sell everything you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. And he walked away sad because he had much. In other words, that spirit of stuff, he was under that influence where he's like, oh, hang on, but I've got so much to lose, Jesus. Can you imagine how free it must be to go, I'm just not going to be motivated by personal gain. I stated the obvious before, Jesus did not live a limited life. Can I state the obvious again, but maybe let it get in? Jesus did nothing for money. It's one of those ones you're like, yeah, hang on, wow. The entire world does, but Jesus never did. Jesus could not be bought. He was never motivated by what he could personally gain from. In fact, he said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. I am on this earth. I am living this life for what I can give, not what I can get. And you know what it did? It made him dangerous to the enemy because he could not be bought. He could not be distracted from his purpose. How liberating it must be to finally be free from that enslavement to the stuff. I gotta have. Man, you don't have to walk out of these doors tonight still being restricted by that mentality. We can be free to say, you know what? I'm gonna be the person God created me to be, not for what I can get out of it, but for what I can give. Hey, come on, let's just praise God for a moment. I'm just going to wait until you break something open with your praise. Come on. We just need a praise break. Maybe you need to do it for the people around you. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get free. We're not going to be under the influence of the world. We're going to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Pastor BJ is a phantom. Where did you come from, sir? Anyway, sorry, I got distracted. Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves can't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It goes on in verse 30 to say, for God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, or in other words, those who don't believe, seek after all these things or are controlled by those thoughts. But your heavenly Father knows you need them. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Come on, let this fill you with faith. Today, how can you be set free from the spirit of stuff? By putting your faith simply in God and saying, you are my provider. You know my needs. It just says, my heavenly Father knows what I need. And Psalm 37 tells me that he even knows my heart's desires, and he'll give me the desires of my heart, not even just my needs, but my desires. Man, when we believe him, it sets us free from being enslaved to the way that the rest of the world is operating. How cool is that? Third thing, man, I really just need to, let's just go fast forward on this one, okay? He has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This whole world around us operates on fear. It's the prevailing wind. It's a currency that the whole world trades on. It's what dominates the headlines, doesn't it? Because bad news sells. It gets our attention. It controls stock markets and economies rise and fall based on what? Reaction of people's fear. So many things around us are controlled by the what if threat of fear. And if we're not wise and discerning in the spirit, it's so easy to live restricted still. Oh, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I praise God. I know how to lift my hands. And yet still make decisions based on fear, not based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can I state something obvious again? Jesus was never moved by fear. Wow. Imagine that kind of life where everybody's shaken, but you're standing. Now, I know fear. Man, I know fear as well, right? Fear is such a natural human reaction to things that we don't know. But faith overcomes fear by who we do know. And Jesus sailed through a storm just like everybody. We can't say Jesus never went through things. He sailed through the storm with his disciples. But while they were worried about losing their life, he slept through it. Why? I'm not moved by fear. That voice doesn't move me. I honestly, even right up to walking out on this stage, I was still searching for this story in Reinhard Bonnke's book. You're just going to have to believe me that it's there. It's such a big book, I couldn't find the story. You just have to believe me that it's there. And it impacted me so much when I heard it, I just couldn't find it again. But I remember in one of these occasions in a nation where he was preaching the gospel and some people weren't too happy about that, and there were threats against his life and the organization, and his team were, you know, busy making plans, and they said, hey, we're going to move. In fact, they said some of these people, they've looked up the hotel and they are staying in the same hotel. They've prepared for this. So we're going to move your hotel room to a different place and we're going to station people with guns outside your room. And Reinhard said, no, no, we're not. I'm not going to change our plans on fear. Now, there are plenty of other occasions as well that he made wise plans based on precaution. There's nothing wrong with that. But on this time, he had this reaction of, no, no, basing my plans or changing my plans around fear will never lead me to what God has called me to do. It only has the opportunity to hold me back from it. So I will not base this decision off a fear of threat. Come on, don't make financial decisions out of fear. Don't make relational decisions out of fear. Come on, be set free from that. Don't make health decisions out of fear. Be wise, be discerning, but don't respond to the voice of fear. Respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because he won't lead you to a dangerous place, will he? See, he'll lead us to a wise, discerning place, but not one that's based on fear. So come on. It's time that we got free. If he hasn't given us a spirit of lack or a spirit of stuff or a spirit of fear, what has he given us? He's given us his own spirit, the spirit of freedom. He's given us the spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. It just dawned on me, you know, when I was thinking about this. Okay, if I'm not influenced by that spirit of lack and I'm not influenced by that spirit of stuff and I'm not influenced by the spirit of fear, what am I influenced by? Ha! The actual, for reals, spirit of God himself wants to influence my thinking, wants to give me keys for life, wants to show me how to live this abundant life. Church, can I encourage you? The same Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the waters in creation, that same Spirit of God lives in you. The same Spirit of God that overshadowed Mary and caused her to become pregnant with the Savior, that same Spirit of God lives in you. The same Spirit of God that came upon Jesus when he was baptized, that dove, that Spirit of God lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that came upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, that same Spirit lives in you. How can I be limited when I have access to who is unlimited? How can I feel like there's a blockage in creativity? How can I feel like I've got no solutions when I live with access to the Creator? He has all knowledge. He has all resource. He has all power. He's not limited in any way. Come on. Year of victory. It's time to be free. It's time to take these nets and go, you know what? I'm coming out of agreement with this stuff. I'm not going to be motivated by that. I'm not going to be moved by that. I'm not going to think like that. Hey, I'm stepping out of that today. One, two, three. Wow. Come on, just give him that kind of praise. Yeah, come on, let's praise him. Come on, like we're getting free. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet here in this moment? Hey, you guys are so good. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Okay, so maybe there were some things the Holy Spirit spoke to you about. What are we going to do? We're going to go home and think about it and go, oh, I just got to change. No, we're just going to come out of agreement with it, take that net off and step in to the influence of the Holy Spirit. So come on, let's close our eyes and I want you to use your imagination right now to do exactly what Tim just did. We're going to throw that thing off. I'm going to count to three and I want you to do something prophetically. Throw that restriction off. Throw off that spirit of lack. Throw off that spirit of stuff. Throw off that spirit of fear and say, I'm not going to operate under that. I'm going to operate under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's how I'm going to live. I'm a planet shaker. I'm stepping into victory. That's how I'm going to live. Come on, Planet Uni, that's how I'm going to do these years of my life in university, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Come on, with our eyes closed. And if that's you, take hold of that net right now by faith. Come on, take hold of it, whatever it is that represents for you. Come on, take hold of it. I'm going to count to three. I want you to throw it off, okay? Physically throw it off. And then we're going to praise, lift our hands and receive from God. Thank you, Lord. I take authority over every restriction now. Things that want to keep us limited. Things that want to keep us discouraged, weighed down, small thinking. Hey, in bondage, enslaved. No, no, no. Today we're breaking free. Today we're stepping into victory. Every single one of us. One, two, three. Come on, throw that off. Throw it off. Throw it off. Throw it off. Throw it off. Spirit of freedom.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.